Dave, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So your investigation lasted 6 months at Fort Carson. What did you find as far as the rise in misconduct discharges? And then how is this cutting off medical benefits for the wounded?
Well, we found that since 2006, really since troops started returning home from war, the Army has kicked out about 76,000 soldiers for misconduct. Within these 76,000 people are an unknown number who served overseas, possibly multiple times, and came home with diagnosed PTSD or traumatic brain injury. Now, the thing that really concerned us is that when they get discharged for misconduct, they're often stripped of any VA medical benefits, which means sometimes the soldiers who need help the most can't get it.
Now, your series begins with the story of Cash Alvaro. Tell us a little more about how he illustrates this problem.
This guy, in a lot of ways, was the typical soldier in Iraq or Afghanistan. He was deployed to Afghanistan in 2009 at the age of 19, and he was hit by a roadside bomb. Ever since then, he's been having troubles with seizure, balance problems, memory problems, and also PTSD. When he got home, he became what his sergeants would probably describe as a bad soldier, missing appointments, bad attitude. And what the Army decided to do was, instead of moving him into a wounded soldier unit, they discharged him for patterns of misconduct. Here's Alvaro explaining the situation in his own words.
To come back and have someone tell you, oh, you're just acting out. Oh, you're just looking for sympathy. And most people just don't understand. I mean, if you have a strong heart, that's good. Good, but there's people in the world that don't.
So where is Alvaro now?
He's basically homeless. He has absolutely no access to medical care. And if you strip away all the big talk about honor and duty and what we owe to our war fighters, and you just look at this as a simple workman's comp case, you realize that soldiers like Alvaro don't have the same rights as everybody else. You know, if he got his head injury when he was mopping floors or flipping burgers, his employer would have to cover his treatment. Because it happened when he was fighting our war, he doesn't have that same right.
What kind of recourse is there when this happens?
Fortunately, there are volunteers and veterans advocates who really try to move heaven and earth to help these guys out. Advocates like Michael Chumbler. He's an Army Reserve Command Sergeant Major, but in his time as a civilian, he worked with troubled veterans in town, and he was able to sort of illuminate for me what are some of the pressures that cause guys like Cash Alvaro to be put out.
Unfortunately, if an individual who's going through the medical process gets themselves in trouble, it gives them an easy out. And not every commander makes that decision, but it depends on the commander, and that's, you know, people are people. And some people will make good decisions and some won't.
What does Fort Carson say is causing the rise in discharges?
Well, I was able to talk to Fort Carson's former commander, Major General Joseph Anderson. And he said that he knew about the rise in discharges, but it was caused not by a rise in kicking out the wounded or any plan to get rid of people because they have to draw down. He said, essentially, look, you know, during the height of the wars, we let a lot of things slide. And I came in and decided that wasn't going to happen anymore. So he essentially said he was strict by the books, and because of that, there was an increase. I followed up with him and I said, how many wounded soldiers get caught in the mix? And he said, it was, quote, not a huge number.
So in the course of your investigation, what does Fort Carson need to do, you know, to fix this problem?
Well, when I talked to Major General Anderson, he said that deciphering the wounded from the misbehaving was a really big challenge. In fact, he said it was the hardest thing they do, and he struggles with it every day. And to address that, he created a special panel to review any type of discharge that might have medical issues involved in it. Now, he cites this as a success. Civilian advocates who work at Fort Carson say oftentimes the information that reaches this review board is not very accurate, and sometimes soldiers that really need help are discharged anyway.
I just have to ask you, you know, as a reporter, but as a human being, you know, talking to these soldiers and doing this work, is it infuriating? I mean, how did you handle this?
Boy, you know, as a reporter, you don't want to weigh in. You let the facts speak for yourself. I will tell you this, though. Cash Alvaro collapsed in my arms, stopped breathing. I didn't know what to do, you know, and it crossed the line from you're not a reporter anymore. You're a human being trying to help someone else. And fortunately, we were able to do what we could for him while he was having a seizure and call the ambulance. But it gets to you.
So what happens next?
Well, Congress makes the laws and they're often enforced at a platoon level. So really, both of those groups would have to take a hard look at what's going on and decide what they want to change. Do we want to change it so that no matter what, a soldier or any military member can't be separated from medical care for their war wounds?
Dave, thank you so much for your work on this.
Thank you for having me on.